So, Zevach Mishpacha, Lanu Hayom, this is the family. It's good to be back together. Already, I think this is our third or fourth time together. It's great to be here with you. I wanted to start with a quotation from the Lashem Shubo Bachlama, the holy grandfather of Eliyashiv, Rishlem Eliyashiv. And I think that maybe most of the shiur will be to really explain and get a sense of the following quotation. It's a paraphrase, not as much a quotation. The Lashem says that Adarsheni is composed of all the missed moments of your life. What makes up Adarsheni is the missed moments of your life. And it makes a cheshbon. It shows that we know that the lunar calendar lags behind the solar calendar, and that there are many, many missed moments. As each month passes, we lose more and more time. And other Shani then is composed of all of this missed time, reconstituted. And of course, we know the Midrash tells us that it wasn't Stam, given to funeral homes and banks to print our calendars, maybe yeshivas for fundraising. But the calendars were composed, of course, in the Beis Din, Sanhedrin. They would take a becher. There's a whole bracha that would be made. And there would be Mekadesh, be Me'aber, the Chodesh. Moshe Shapiro Zatzal used to say that the Sod Ha'ibor, the mathematical calculation of how one works out when we will and when we won't have an Iber Yor, when we will have a leap Yor, is one of the Spitz, the crowning achievement of Moach HaYehudi, of the Jewish mind. So the crowning achievement, the Sod HaYibor. So it's composed of the missed moments of our lives. One. Number two. Beis Yaakov of Ishbitz writes a fantastic thing. He says, in Beis HaMikdash times, there was a lot more, as we call it, audience participation within the structure of our calendar. Again, we just get it from the shul or whatever tzedakah institution that we're affiliated with. The Bima in my shul, one of the Gabbai, his family is all Yerushalmi Jews support the Yishuv. So we're still getting the Yeshiva Chevron calendar after all these years. The new Yeshiva Chevron, the old Yeshiva Chevron. So he gets the Yeshiva Chevron, even for Tavshin Pei Dalad. I think that's the only thing that changes, the dates and the actual things that fall out, but the pictures are very, very similar. What would happen is that we would go through Adar. We would live through Adar, we would go, we would have Purim, the second base of Mikdash, we would have Purim. You can imagine it, imagine yourselves in the second base of Mikdash times. We're back in Eretz Yisrael. And already it's a good 200, 300 years since that this Maisa that happened in Shushan. This guy, Mordechai, Esther, was the queen of the Persian Empire. It was before the Greeks, of course, took over. We were saved, so we make a Purim. And we know the Gemara even talks about, let's say you're a Kohen or a Levi, it's time to read the Megillah. What do you do? What comes first? So you'd celebrate Purim, the times the second base of Migdash that had this cordon that sounds to us. It's fantastic. So okay, then Purim, we're cleaning up from the Shalach Manas. Maybe it's even 2-3 days of Purim, Eretz Yisrael, Purim Meshulash. And now, okay, we're getting ready. Okay, Pesach, let's get ready for Pesach. We have to start thinking about Pesach. All of a sudden, it gets to the end of the month. You've already put in your order to the predecessor of pomegranate or bingo or green tree? Green, one month see?
Evergreen.
Evergreen. Evergreen. Everybody's favorite bingo. You know, you get your bingo order. And all of a sudden, the riders come out. Or you see the lights on the hilltops. Oh, it's a new month. Wait a minute. It's not Nisan. It's Adar again. That means we're going to do Purim again. We do Purim. Soloveitchik used to say that in Iber Yor, there are 4 days of Purim. It just so happens that we celebrate, you know, the last one, or the second 14th. So I guess the third one. But there are 4 days of Purim in an Iber Yor. But then, they didn't know that an Iber Yor was coming. So what happened is that they would go and then we'd make another Purim. Now, if Purim is the ultimate, Purim is the ultimate simcha. Remembering, Purim is the simcha of the end of days. Purim is, it's in the last month of the Jewish year, indicating that we're at the end of our rope. We're at the end, the very, very end, the gullus after the gullus. Right? Because Persian Empire came after the Babylonian exile. But the gullus after the gullus. The Gemara Megillah says, Afka abzos bios and be'erth lo lahem. That even if you have been in the forest off of land, even then I will not forget about you. I will not find you disgusting or despisable. I should drive you from my presence. The miracle of Purim. Purim is the yontif that happens at the very, very end of time. That's why, of course, we know the Rambam's famous ruling that all the yontifs will be batel except for Purim. Their salvation is forever. Take Vasim Bechol Dor Vador. That's what this song is about. That's why Rav Huttner Agav is a. Rav Huttner used to, he had his kapedas about different things. One of the things Rav Huttner didn't like used to be a thing. My father used to sing it to me. He didn't sing me the tune, he just said the words. Haint is Purim, umargin is ice, give me tzindala, unvarf me our ice. Right? Today is Purim, tomorrow is not, give me $10 and throw me out. That's what people would come down, the spiel is a yeshiva collecting, in those days they come into your house, they sing and dance, and they say, sing the song, today is Purim, tomorrow is not. But Putner did not like that. Because tomorrow is also Purim. Purim is the holiday of the future, so it's always tomorrow. Every war that we have with Amalek. Amalek is tomorrow's enemy, and Amalek's end is in the end of days, is in tomorrow. That's why Esther tells Achashverosh tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll talk about it. Moshe tells Yeshua we're going to fight them tomorrow. Because Amalek is the enemy of the end, and getting to the end. So we celebrate this end. It's an element of Tchias HaMesim. That's the Kal V'chomer of the Gemara. The Gemara asks, should we say Halal on Purim? And so, well, no, this, that, maybe we're slaves of Achashverosh. The initial idea is, Misa L'chaim L'kol Shekein? If we had such a revolution, that since we say Halal on any Yetzias Mitzrayim, Mishibud L'geula Amrinan, we say from slavery to salvation, slavery to freedom, we say Halal. So from death to life, why not? Isn't it a Kol Shekein? How much more so? So that Memisa L'chaim Kol Shekein means there's a certain level of Tchias HaMesim that we have. That's why the Simcha is out of bounds. That's a Adelo Yada. We take leave of ourselves to a certain extent. Why? Because it's ourselves, we're limited. We're limited that the simcha, we don't understand Tchias HaMesim. We don't understand Pardum, we don't understand Tchias HaMesim. It's just out there. So the simcha is out there. The mask comes off. This is the happiest day in the world. So where do you go from there? We do the Purim Sheni, for Pesach Sheni, I guess they call it Purim Sheni, right? Or Purim Nachamal. Where do you go from there? It says the Yishbitzer. That there's a level of simcha where we're only finite, you know, in terms of our hasagos, in terms of our conceptions. And illustrated by Avar from Chiddush Arim. Chiddush Arim said, you know, in the Midbar, when everybody had the man, so how could you do chesed? How could you do chesed? Everybody had the man. You had what you needed. How do you tzedakah? says Chiddush HaRim, the Ashirim, the rich people, could tell the poor people what to think of. The biggest, so it comes off like it's a cute bar. It's cute. But what comes out is the biggest chesed is to open someone else's mind. Because as we are, who we are, with what we understand, we only understand things a certain way. When we can open our minds that there's a bigger possibility, a bigger world out there, it's bigger, more than I could ever conceive. That's the level of the second perm. The second perm is a simcha, where you go, it's even bigger. It's like a simcha that I couldn't even conceive of it. You had no idea that there was another perm coming. And all of a sudden, here we are. It's like the feeling a person gets when all of a sudden, you know, they find out that there's a chassan in the room and it's Thursday. Right? There's a chassan in the room and it's Thursday. Oh, simcha that I never, you know, I say in a silly way. He said it in another silly way. Baruch Hashem, I was zocher to publish a sefer in May. Oh, unbelievable. You know what? How it is they compare it to giving birth, writing a sefer. And it's definitely painful. I'll tell you that. On one hand, you know, I love teaching Torah, and I love, you know, writing. At the same time, they're going over it and over and over again. It's just like, okay, let's publish it already. And so I go over it again and again and again. So it's an achievement. Baruch Hashem, I'm so happy. And then the next week, my daughter got engaged. And from one to the other. Thank you, Shkoyach. Exactly. And that's the beginning of the second perm. He thought it was already, that's good. It's very good. That's simcha. Publish a sefer, bring more Torah to the world. A new mishpacha in the world. From one to the next, it wasn't even on the horizon, and all of a sudden it happens. That's the avodah of the second perm. It's unbelievable. I didn't expect to find it here. It's so unexpected. It's completely unprecedented, as it were. A simcha like this, unprecedented simcha. Okay. That's the Hakdama. Very quickly now. Okay. I'm in the middle of writing a new sefer. Rav Kook used to give Shal Shudas everywhere in his life, whether he was in Lithuania, in Latvia, Lithuania, England, Lahavdil, Yafo, Yerushalayim, give Shal Shudas. And who would come to Shal Shudas? Everyone. Everyone who was at it, anyone. Rav Yashiv, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Yosef Zevin, everyone. And then, you know, from the writers and the philosophers, Brenner and Bialik, the Chadayma, everybody came to Shal Shudas. And the Amcha, everybody would come to the Rav Rashi Shal Shudas. Unbelievable gems in the Sefer called Shmuos Riyah. I'm working right now to adapt it into English for everybody, so we can take from the Kohen Gadol, from the High Priest's Torah. He says it doesn't make any sense. In this week's Parsha, we know Parsha's Pekudei. He asks the question that's all on our minds. They've drilled into our heads since we're little kids. The Torah doesn't waste a single word, right? Does not waste a single word. So why are we hearing a replay for the last 5 weeks of the Mishkan? Last 5 weeks, it's the same thing. I mean, at this point already, you should be able to build the Mishkan by yourself. You should be able to do it already. Like, we got the instructions, then we got more instructions. We heard about the Mishkan and its Kalim, and then the Begadim, and then the Ketores, and the Kiyor, and then again about the Mishkan and its Kalim, and this week the Begadim. Again? So Cook answers with a very interesting phrase. There's another place in the Torah where we seem to repeat the same story three times. The story of the Eved Eliezer as he's sent by Avram Avinu on a mission and how he completes the mission. And the Midrash remarks over there, Yafasi Chasan Shalavdi Abus, Mitar Sham Shalbaneyam, that the Sicha, the mere conversation of a servant of the Abus, is even bigger than the Torah of the children. So let's understand. Rav Kook enters into a slight halachic discussion. We'll say it very, very quickly. Doesn't really make sense, Birchas HaTorah. Birchas HaTorah doesn't make sense so much. Why should we make a bracha on the Torah if we know ha'ikar, ha'ikar, lilmod, lasos, right, is the ikar. The ikar is to perform the mitzvos. So if I need to learn to do the mitzvos, so why are you making on a bracha, which is a bracha on something which at best would be a hechsher mitzvah?
Well, you make a bracha on lasos also. So
it should all be in that bracha lasos. You shouldn't. It's a bracha levatal. Why make a bracha on a hechsher mitzvah? And then for keret, if you're going to tell me hamaisa is not the ikar, so then that's a different type of Torah. That's a type of learning which then it's not necessarily kashur to doing it all. It's up there. It's just abstract. It's a brisk chakira. It's a rugged shofar dian, right? It's something that's not going to come out lemaisa. So if I make a bracha l'atma, it's Torah lishma l'shem Torah. So if the cheftza of the object is just to make the bracha on the Torah itself, then the maisa isn't an ikar. So what's interesting is. Is that this famous Gemara? I can say it's a famous Gemara because people bring it up all the time. The Nabi Yirmiyahu said, "Amal avda haaretz, osi azavu." Right? They forgot me. They didn't learn my Torah. Says the Gemara, the Nevi'im didn't know how to answer the question. The Chachamim didn't know how to answer the question until HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself answers the question. Shelo baruchu b'Torah tchila. They didn't make a bracha on the Torah to begin with. They make a bracha on the Torah to begin with. What do you mean? So what Cook says, fantastically, is that the idea is that it specifically has to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us that they had to make a bracha to begin with. That we have two aspects of the Torah. We have an aspect of the Torah which is in the abstract and an idea of the Torah in the concrete. And the idea of artzius, of losing the land, would seem to be that we didn't perform the Torah, not that we weren't osek in the Torah Shemala. Rav Kook says is that the truth is they're both right, but to say that you made Baruchu b'Torah b'tchila is to say that as Hashem says the heavenly Torah and the earthly Torah must connect, because the entire idea is not just to do things, but to bring what's vos's himmel dick, down to there, down to this world. If you would, right? Ratzakadosh Baruch Hu v'dirasa besach tainim. Ratzakadosh Baruch Hu wanted that this world should be a dwelling place, an indwelling for the Shechina. So as a result, we need both. Says Rav Kook, Truma titzaveh, we're only being told the idea in abstract. If you read it carefully, Hashem tells Moshe to command Bnei Yisrael, but Moshe only commands them, and they do it later. The first two parshios are the parshios of abstract. And the second two parshios are the parshios of doing. Bringing this all together is an act of making what's himmeldik down here, to complete the abstract plan and concretizing it. Now watch, this is fantastic. Says the Ramban in his introduction to the Chumash Shmos, he's answering the question that was on all our minds. If Sefer Shmos is the Sefer of Geula, what does the Mishkan have to do with anything? Mishkan doesn't have to do anything with it. If you tell me, okay, Matan Torah, fine. Mishkan? Says the Ramban, the Jewish people only achieve the level of their forefathers when they build the Mishkan. My high? Because the forefathers... The Avos Gedolim, right? Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the Shechina was with them. The Shechina lived with them. The Shechina lived with the Avos. And therefore, we once again resume their lives, so the Shechina living with us. Once the Mishkan is created, we are making a place, Dirasa B'Sachtoinim. We're making a place for Kadosh Baruch Hu down here. and he lives with us down here. God doesn't need any other place. But when we make down here a place, a receptacle for that, that is the work of the Avos. So as a result, the same way that the Eved, Eliezer's life, is a story of the principles, the idea, the Avoda of the Avos, it translates through all of Eliezer's story. Eliezer, in his life, everything he does, the great shmuz from Ratzimayer Zilberberg, and you know, it's predicated in Peace and Stras Emes, that everything that Eliezer does is reflecting Avram Avinu's Torah. He becomes the vehicle, let's say in a funny way, the character reflects the idea. Everything Eliezer does, he calls to God when he needs help in executing his plan. You don't just learn that on the street. It's not just a stom thing that someone you'll pick up. You don't pick that up. You don't pick that up anywhere, right? Eliezer was a person who was a child of Cham, right? He was supposed to be a slave. So he could have been a slave anywhere. I'm going to be a slave in Avram Avinu's house. I'm going to be part of the best. I'm going to be on the best team in whatever way that I can. To reveal godliness below, this is the work of the Avos, and therefore this is the same work of the Mishkan. So using the same principle works in both places. Because here we are doing the work of the Avos by building the Mishkan, making the world a place for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, any time that we find a place where I don't expect to find the Ribono Shel Olam, that's incredible, that's crazy, that's wild, that's, as we would say, that's a shtus of Kedusha. But famously, the Lubavitcher Rebbe in Basi Lagani says that the idea of this world is the biggest joke, the biggest crazy, the biggest shtus, is that this world is a place for godliness as well. A place that you would never expect to find it. You would never expect to find it. And specifically then it's the Kedusha of Adar Sheni. Of the Adar Sheni, like the Ishbitzer explained, our Purim Sheni. It's a Kedusha that I never even expected. And I bring that back into the Lashon. All the missed moments of my life, when I think anything is for fallen, is geendig, it's out there, it's over, it's a loss, just write it off. Hashem says, don't write anything off. Our avoda is to find Elokus wherever we can, find revealed godliness in this world, as crazy as it is, as wild as it is, the most surprising way that it is. And that's the avoda of what we're doing here right now. In the second month, the far, most far off of time, the joy of Purim. I didn't expect the Kadosh Baruch Hu to be with Esther Malka in the throne room of that Rasha. Didn't expect to find her there. But there he is. The entire idea of Megillas Esther, Kadosh Baruch Hu's name is not written there. Why? It's because it's supposed to be so, so far out. And then the Mekubalim on one end find the most unbelievable ideas of finding the Ribono Shel Olam in all of the Megillah. And the Gra on the other end, that every page begins with the word HaMelech. You say, HaReini Yomahu Hastir Astir As Panai, I will hide my face. And yet at the top of every page, he looks at us and we look at him, we say, I see you. I see you. Didn't expect to see you here. I see you over here. This is the time to find the Ribono Shel Olam. This is the time to make the place for the Ribono Shel Olam. That's why Adar, they say in Sfarim, is Aleph Dar, Aleph, the one, the only one, the beginner, Dar, dwells here. That's the Mishkan, if I ever heard it. And that's the Avoda of Dir B'Sachton, if I've ever heard it. That's the Avoda, to make our lives a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the places even where I thought they weren't. To retake the moments, to retake the ideas, take the places that I thought I'd never find them in, and to find them again. That's also the idea of the Mishkan. Mishkan is Mishkan HaEdus. The Mishkan of Testimony. The Mishkan of Testimony? The Tabernacle of Testimony. This is very religious. What does it mean, a Tabernacle of Testimony? It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will dwell in this world in a place of wood and metal. But also, going with Rashi's pshat, that this happened as a response to Chet HaEgel, that Ribono Shel Olam will dwell with us as well. May we merit to be aware with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to dwell with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aleph Dar, to do it once, to do it again, to do it in a way when it surprises me, when it doesn't surprise me, when it's on the calendar, it's not on the calendar, in unbelievable ways. We should see the biggest surprise. Sheikh Tzikeno, very, very soon.
They're going to tie a